Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code DKHOOPS. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code DKHOOPS, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The VC Show is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, but you must be 21 or older.
The VC Show, let's go, doing the part with Rod. We got the sports on deck for our audience. Whether it's big news, hot topics, updates, straight facts, storytelling, breakdowns, or special guests. VC Show, let's go, it's time to turn it out. The VC Show, let's go, let's go.
Welcome to the VC Show, presented by Caesar Sportsbook on Omaha Audio. I'm Vince Carter. You know who's with me, Roz Godon. What, hey, what's up, Roz? How's everything?
Everything is great, VC. What's going on, Vince? This is a big show today. This is a big show.
Yeah, man. You know, every now and then we do it big. We bring in special guests. We try to do it big and bring the best of the best. So I'm going to introduce my guy. You know him from, let's see, where should we start? Bad Boys, maybe. Big Mama's House. Black Knights is one of my favorites. And of course, the Martin Show, none other than the icon, the legend, the guy who's paved the way for so many people, Mr. Martin Lawrence. Martin, thank you so much for joining the show today. You deserve a huge round of applause. I hope everyone who's listening is standing up right now and giving you your flowers because you deserve them.
Thank you, brother. Thank you guys for having me, Vince and Roz. I appreciate it. I'm so happy to be on.
Yeah, man.
This is so cool having you on. Like, so I just need the backstory because it's very easy to book. I say this often. Vince is a superstar, future Hall of Famer talent, but he's an even better person. And when we try to book for the show, we get a lot of warm, oh, Vince, yeah. But Martin, it's so cool to see you on the show. I mean, you've transcended all genres, you know. So I'm just curious. How does the connection between you and Vince come together? Where's the relationship start?
Well, I met Vince a long time ago at an All-Star game. And, he was just real cool. And then I met him when he was playing with Atlanta. And, because, Vince has been on every team. And so I met him a couple of times, and each time he was the same person. He was just real cool and just round down to earth. And so then most recently, I got to meet him in Abu Dhabi and meet up and with him again. And, and then we just hit it off, It's just like seeing each other again, like old times.
And Roz, the cool thing about it, like that was, he said we met up in Abu Dhabi. It was like, for us, it was a, it was not a random night, but it was just, it was legendary night. you know, obviously people who've done great things in their professions, having a good time with some, you know, some very powerful but great people. And it turned out to be a pretty cool night. Like, we ended up in the guy's gym shooting shots. I'm talking about, like, getting it in, shooting shots for, like, 2-3 hours, which turned into a 2-on-2. Like,
so yeah.
Random. What were the teams? Yeah, but, and but, it's Martin
but,
and Gabe.
But I didn't play. I watched, you know.
He wouldn't play.
I didn't play. I watched Vince. Vince was killing him. He was killing him. So,
me and Isaiah Thomas.
So when I saw that, I thought Vince was trying to make a comeback.
Martin, growing up, did you play ball at all or anything for fun?
Yeah, I love ball. You know, around the time Jordan, you know, first came out, that's when I started really getting interested in basketball. And so, you know, when I started making a little money, I bought my own basketball courts. So, you know, I like to play every now and then.
What's the coolest part of your basketball court? Do you got your initials at half court or something?
Well, the coolest part is, I think, are the ball players I have on the wall. You know, it's only a few, but they're on the wall for specific reasons.
Absolutely. Have any hoopers come by and played? Vince, we gotta get you there.
Yeah. My good friend Charles Smith.
Okay.
He's been by there. Yeah, yeah.
So one question we like to ask guests that come on, and Vince, I'm gonna get you on this too, and I'm gonna put you on the spot, Vince. But we have a lot of GOAT conversations. You mentioned Michael Jordan. You know, who is your favorite player of all time, and is that also your greatest player of all time?
That would be Michael Jordan.
That would be both.
That would be Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan reigns supreme with me.
You know, when we have GOAT conversations.
Yeah, I grew up a Dr. J fan.
Oh, no, I was going to say, GOAT conversations, you know, when we talk about top comedians of all time and impact made, you're in the conversation. And, you know, what is your preparation like? We've talked with a number of basketball players about their game days and their preparation. What's it like to come on stage and to come to a show and execute being funny?
Oh, wow. It's a process, you know, but you got to get a lot of rest and you got to be in shape, you know, because, you know, you're moving around a lot on stage and everything. And you're talking and speaking a lot. And so you can get winded a lot. So you have to be on stage. So the day of the show, you know, you kind of just want to rest and, you know, get ready for the show, maybe listen to some music, get a bite to eat, and then lay down and then wake up and take a shower and then get ready for the show.
Okay, well, so I'm going to ask you this. I'm going to see if this kind of relates to us. So, you know, there's players, you know, let's just like Anthony Davis or somebody like, you know, since you're out in LA, but like Anthony Davis who's missed games, and then he's come back to play and he has to kind of get back in shape and back in rhythm. Is it kind of the same for you?
Yes.
Where it's like, you know, is it the same, like, as far as like, I got to get my rhythm back first. And then once you get going, is it kind of the same?
Most definitely. You can't just come back, you know, to comedy and think that, you know, just because you're a funny person that you could just jump right in. You have to come back and you have to get reps in. You have to start with maybe 3 minutes, you know, and right. See if the audience likes what you're saying. Then maybe you go to 5 minutes next week. Then the next week you may go to 10 minutes. Then the next week you may go to 20 minutes. You know, before you know it, you're at an hour. You have an hour set, you know. And so that's how you work out getting your material. But it's most definitely something you can't take for granted. And you really have to work on.
Okay, I want to follow that up with this. What is, I don't know if the question should be too long, but, you know, you do your specials that tend to be, what, an hour long?
90 minutes.
Yeah. So when is it? You feel like when it is that double overtime? Is that like at 2 hours? You're like, bro, slowly running out of gas.
At 2 hours, to give it by a person 2 hours show. That's a lot.
You give
it. I've done that before. And my brother told me, the buck, you giving them too much. That's way too much. You got to give them just enough. Give them just enough.
But see, that's the thing with you, man. There's a lot of comedians, though, like that you won't lose the interest of people if you go on for two and a half hours. They still lock in. It's like, you know, there's some people like, all right, after a while, it's like they run out of material. You're like, okay, there's no. Yeah.
Did you ever have a moment where the joke doesn't hit or it didn't go through as you wanted? And how do you handle that?
Well, I sure have had that moment. And, you know, fortunately, I try not to have too many of them. And, you know, and when I first had it, it was the first time I ever went on stage. And this lady was sitting in front and she looked at me and was like, oh, God, not another JJ. You know, and I was like, oh, I didn't know how to react. And I was just yelling into the mic and, what you say, lady? And I was just all off balance. And so how I fixed it was, I just came back. I didn't perform for a while. I just would come back to a professional show that they had on the weekend, and I would study the other comics.
Oh, so you a student of the game?
Most definitely.
Right. So who did you study? Like, who are some of the greats that you took inspiration from as comedians?
Richard Pryor and Eddie Murphy.
Okay, cool. Now, I believe there's like a, what was it about those comedians that stood out to you?
Well, their truth, not to mention the fact that they were hilarious. They're funny. Their honesty, their charisma, their swag, all of that.
I got a follow up to that. Their truth and their authenticity. I feel like we're constantly seeing a conversation that comedy is under attack. And, you know, you see a Dave Chappelle go on stage and then Twitter is on fire, you know, about what he said or if he hurt the feelings of a certain group. What are your takes on being politically correct, the cancel culture of today, and also being a funny comedian?
I think you can't worry about the cancel culture and all that. I think if you're a comedian at heart and you believe in what you're saying, your mission is to make people laugh. And so, you know, we're dealing with a sensitive world, you know, that can't understand jokes that they're just jokes, then they're the ones that are going to have to adjust. But I don't think the comedians should make an adjustment. I think they should stand on what they believe in and do exactly what they feel, no matter what the consequences are.
Dig that. Thinking back to, you know, your time, you know, were there anything or anybody that you wanted to work with, you know, particularly those comedians that are, you know, your favorite, you know, doing, you know, a tour together or, you know, working on a movie or one of your shows that you didn't get the opportunity to work with that you still want to or wish you had the opportunity to do so?
No, not really. It was Richard Pryor. And so I got an opportunity to have him on the Martin show. And then mostly I wanted to work with Eddie Murphy. That was a big dream to me because I wanted to be like Eddie, you know. And so when I got the opportunity to work with him for the first time in Boomerang, you know, I was starstruck. I was like, oh, my God, you know, because I remember going to see Eddie Murphy. By myself, I drove from Maryland to Richmond, Virginia, to see him at the Richmond Coliseum. And I was up in the bleachers watching him. And I went with my oldest brother and his wife, and we were watching this show, and he had the Weather Girls open up for him. And when he came out, his first joke was, let's give it up for the Weather Girls. Boy, they could f*** the stage, you know. You know, because they were big girls, you know. They were big girls. And so the show was hilarious from then on in, you know, then on out. And I just said to myself, I just left it at that point. I drove all the way back home 2 hours. And all I said to myself is, I got work to do. I got work to do. I got work to do. And then, so you can imagine when Eddie called me and Reggie Hudlin and them called me for Boomerang, how I felt to be working with my brother Eddie Murphy.
So what was Eddie like? What was he like?
So,
as a person.
Oh, he's the best. and he's one of the coolest people you would ever meet. You know, he got swag. Eddie just got swag and he marches to the tune of his own beat.
Yeah.
And he does it right.
So with that being said, how was it? You know, one of my favorite movies that I hate that I didn't mention in the open, but in the beginning, with Life, you guys filming Life, and you know,
that,
with
all the greats that is my all-time favorite movie. It's like, I'm a basketball. I played ball growing up. I'm very typical. It's like Love and Basketball and Life. Boom. Maybe The Color Purple. Like I've watched Life 40, 50 times. Like, it's my travel on a plane. I only have one thing downloaded on my phone. And thing. It's right. Just so, and every time I find something new to laugh about. So Vince, okay, Vince, you go, but then I'm going to tap in on this one. That's like,
you talked about.
The two of them, that's like Kobe right, and Shaq exactly. Right there, the two of them in that movie. That was crazy.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. Like, what was it, the dynamic, like, how do you guys like follow? And I know, so some of the shots, you know, like, you know, the Whites Only Pies, you know, for example, how many times did like you have to shoot some of those shots without people like not messing up the scene, or you know, for you laughing at Eddie, you know, when he talking about, you know, no, I'm gonna take your cornbread, you know, or something like that. Like, I was just curious. Like, there's no way that was one taken out.
No. We had to do those takes a few times, but you know,
I mean, that, I get angles, but I'm just
But that's the beauty of movie making. You know, you could do it over and over and over till you get it right. You know, right. And when I was in scenes with Eddie, it's hard not to laugh. I'm talking about he's so good, man. He hit you with the Jedi mind trick on you and have you just cracking up, man. You know, and the thing about Eddie, he's the truth. You know, like you see the players, you the truth. You know, the players, you know, Tom Brady the truth. He's the truth.
Right. How much, I heard that a lot of the movie was ad-libbed. Like the between the two of you guys allowed the, can you discuss the ad-libbing in Life between you and Eddie Murphy?
Well, let me say this. It was a great script. So we had a great script. So the ad-libbing that we did do was stuff that I would go off of Eddie if he ad-libbed. Or he would go off of me if I had lived. And that's how we found the magic. You know, we would just make what was on the paper a little more better than what was there.
What do you remember about, you know, one of the great comedians of our time, and may he rest in peace, you know, Bernie Mac?
Oh, my man Bernie. That's my man. Man Bernie. He's one of the real ones. Like I said, I got to mention none but the truth. You know, he came with the real. You know, he had the swag. And he wasn't afraid of no
The VC Show, let's go.
All right, people, we're brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app ever, and honestly, the only one you need. It's not just about the big bonuses and boosts and promos that you get. It's the fact that every time you bet, whether you win or lose, you're earning towards the types of perks only Caesars can offer: free stays, concert tickets, bonuses, and more. That's because when you download the Caesars Sportsbook app, you become a Caesars Rewards member, and that means perks. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-522-4700.
You know, you've had a number of great roles. What would you look back on as some of your most favorite roles that you've had?
Blue Streak and National Security.
Why?
Another great one.
Because I got to shape these characters the way I wanted to. I got to Martinize them, you know. Other roles that I've played, I'm playing the characters, but I'm playing the words so much on the page. In Blue Streak and National Security, I didn't have to be so much on the page.
Absolutely.
Two other great ones.
For sure. And, you know, I think just as we continue to talk about your career, you know, in sports we say great players make others great. One of the legacies that you have is you've put a number of actors and comedians, all of that, you put a number of people on that are famous today. What does that legacy mean to you, especially when you look back on the platform of your show, Martin?
It means a lot to me because I'm a child of God, and I'm only here to do His work, you know. And my work, through my work, is to pass it on to the next generation, and so that they have better opportunities, and they have an opportunity to go from rags to riches and enjoy their blessings in life, you know. So I'm just the messenger, you know, and I'm just here to lead by example, you know, through my work.
Well, how did it make you feel inside having your Martin reunion and having everybody back together? And I know everywhere you go through the years leading up to this, before this actually came to fruition, people asking you for the show to come back and to do it again. So how did it make you feel inside kind of getting the gang back together? Rest in peace to Tommy. I got the opportunity to meet him actually doing a sitcom for the Moesha show back in the day. So I got a chance to, you know, be blessed by meeting him and, you know, meet how great he is. But for you in that group, I mean, because watching it, you can feel the appreciation of everybody being back together. But how did it make you feel personally having the group back together?
It made me feel I was in heaven. I felt great, you know, just to have us all back together to sit down and reminisce again and to show each other how much we loved each other and show each other and tell the world how much we loved working with each other. And I was just glad I got an opportunity to do that, and we got an opportunity to do that and put closure to the show.
Now, you know, we didn't want to see closure, but I mean, to see everybody back in the same room again and kind of reminisce, and it was just like great to see characters. I mean, obviously all the characters and, you know, the great and funny moments that we still see. Like if I'm up late at night, you best believe what I'm watching, you know, at night, and to kind of see and to see the love and just how all of you guys work well together, which made a beyond a classic. I mean, that's just an iconic show, and congratulations again.
Thank you, bro.
What that movie has done for all of us. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, what color you are, black, white, or otherwise, the Martin show has done wonders for us. You know, it's referenced every day.
I appreciate y'all. Thank you.
Yeah, and you know what? Sometimes when you hit that big, it's hard to actually, like, transition out of that. Everybody sees you in that way, you know, and puts you in this box. Almost as crazy, that level of success can put you in a box. But, you know, what are the keys to transitioning out of transitioning? Because you've had a number of roles that you still were able to make it yours and you still had funny moments, but you also showed the depth of your abilities to be more serious as well.
Yes, yes, yes. That's something that I thank God I'm able to do, you know, because I'm not just all about comedy. I finished a film called Mind Cage with John Malkovich and Melissa Roxburgh, it's a like a suspense thriller, so I'm not funny in this movie at all, you know, but I think you'll enjoy it. It's totally different from what I've ever done. It's the worst I've ever looked on film, on camera. I got fat for the role and everything, and I was just trying some method acting.
I want some details, like, because we were going to ask you about my age. What was it like preparing for a more dramatic role? And sure, what was it like, you know, plumping up for it too? I don't know.
Well, the plumping up part was good because I can eat what I want. That's easy. But it just getting prepared for it. I had to work with a coach because, you know, he made me see the script from a different angle, and how to transition from sitcom television comedies that I do to change that and go totally into drama. And that's a big transition you have to make if you're trying to do both of them. So he just showed me how I could do it and the right way to do it.
I'm going to take this and kind of take it back to the NBA because there has been some coaching drama in the NBA.
Well, that and we talk sports on here, buddy. I mean, you're great. You're the man, but we talk sports on here, too, and you're going to join us.
And I'm going to start with Vince because the topic is, you know, bigger than just sports. So, essentially, Atlanta Hawks, the situation between their star, Trae Young, and Nate McMillan, their head coach, is that clearly there's something brewing there between the two of them. Most recently, Trae had a sore shoulder. He chose not to participate in the shoot-arounds and the workouts leading into a game. Coach didn't like it, and it was leaked to the media. It came out in reports that essentially Coach gave him an ultimatum, like either we have the game, you didn't do the things that it takes to be a starter in the game, you can show up and come off the bench, or don't play at all. And Trae didn't like the situation, apparently, and did not play. And he did not play. And obviously, that's a huge deal. And yeah. So, Vince, I'm going to start with you. And most recently, there was a reporter who was kind of coming at Trae hot, and there's a debate on should the reporter have backed off. But, you know, the reporter at Media Hat here has a right to respectfully ask the question, but Trae basically was like, the reporter asked why he wasn't there to support his team in a game when he was physically healthy even to just be on the bench or to come off the bench, he chose not to. Was that bad leadership? And Trae turned to the reporter and said, you know, to the effect of, you're on the outside and you don't know really what happened on the inside, and this should stay in inside matters. And Vince, this is your team. This is your area in Atlanta. Break it down.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot to unfold there, and Martin, I'd love to hear what you think about it and everything. I've been around Trae for a long time. You know, I've been in this game a long time, and you know, it's old school mentality of Nate McMillan, and obviously the new generation as well. And the one thing I would say to Trae, outside of all of this, is you know, be professional. Remember, you're the superstar, and you're the star player. And sometimes they look for you for guidance. And sometimes, you know, people outside and internally, they look at you to see how you handle some situations. And that, if it's kind of handled wrong, yes, it should. It became public or whatever. But you got to, you know, as the star player, and just as being a basketball player professional, you got to handle some of these situations correctly. I mean, you know, we've heard some people like, oh man, he's Trae, he can do. Nah, it doesn't. Yeah, I hear you, but it depends on what you're trying to get out of this situation. You just want to be the man yourself, cool. But when the star player is coming to practice. And like I said, I don't know if he got there 5 minutes late or whatever. That conversation should have happened before. Hey, coach, I know your rule. I'm just letting you know. Hey, are you cool with me going back here in the training room and getting treatment instead of walking through or whatever? Or whatever. Normally, how it's always been my 20-something years, you know, when you get there, you have your treatment. If you're hurt, you get there early. Hurt players get there early. That's just what it is. And then you kind of sit through, walk through if you can't participate, or you get your treatment afterwards. You know, to just come there and just go straight to locker room, not communicate, that's just one of the things that you can't do. Communicate with the coach first, and then you deal with the situation, because other players are looking at that. And then now if you choose not to play, they said that he called some of the guys and, you know, discussed it. But, you know, I'm thinking as if I'm on the team. This is something I would say to Trey today. It's like, hey, bro, okay, even if you don't show up to play the game, come in the back, support your team, just show them you give a damn. If you know what I'm saying, like, I'm still rocking with you because they rock with you as a superstar. Martin, I'll give you the floor, and you know, what are your thoughts on this situation, and you know, how you think he should have handled it or the organization? Because I'm gonna say this last thing: the coaches have to be careful, because how this situation is public, so it is what it is, but how it's handled matters. And I mean that, because as a coach, if you handle this one particular way with him and not the others, and I know people say, oh, he's a superstar, he should get a little leeway. Okay, but there's some things that can become detrimental to your team. And when you handle this like this and you don't kind of reprimand him in some sort and you go hard on everybody else, coaches lose their power as they're in their voice in the locker room. And then vice versa, as the star player, now when you wanna use your voice, you wanna go in your locker room maybe at halftime before the game, give a rah-rah speech or hey, what we're doing, and you lose your voice in that locker room. That's a terrible feeling, being a superstar and losing that. So I think you have to be aware of these situations, and you know, and I don't know if the young guys today think about that sometimes, because you know it's a lot going on, but that is a sticky subject that I think. The organization, as well as Trey, the player, has to be aware of, because you want your guys to always rally behind you and support you. Marcus, yeah. Go for it. What you got, man?
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. I mean, Trey's a leader. He's the leader of that team, you know. So, you know, anything that he got going on with the coach, you know, that's up to them to work that out and everything. And but I can tell you one thing, if it comes down to, you know, them not being able to work it out and somebody's got to go, they're going to get rid of it.
Okay.
You know, they're going to get rid of
it. That's how it goes. That's how it goes.
Yeah, and I feel like I've heard there was a saying, from a distance, when two people are arguing, you can't tell who the idiot is. You can't tell who the wrong person is. And so it's a tough situation for both of them. Martin, I absolutely feel you in that. Look.
Okay.
If you can't get along with the superstar, this is a player's league. It's going to put a lot of pressure on the seat and the heat of that seat of the coach. However, I also think this is a interesting situation for Trey to be thoughtful in how he handles it, because there were reports that his relationship with Lloyd might have been the previous coach, Coach Pierce, might have been a little bit rocky as well. And you don't want to become to get a reputation of, oh, here's a star that is hard to deal with. And for the most part, when you're around Trey, I mean, he's just, you know, from what I've seen in my interactions with him, just smiley, sweet, a family guy, so nice.
Yeah, good dude.
Yeah, I see that in him too. I don't see him as this problem child. I don't see him as that guy. I see him as a guy that wants to succeed and wants to do it by any means necessary, and wants to get the respect he deserves. And I don't think he wants to be disrespectful to the coach or his teammates and things like that, you know?
And this is a teachable, learnable, learning moment for him, everyone, you know, in that organization. And I'm going to say this. The one thing that, you know, like when you say star player and the coaches, you know, can be on the hot seat, yes. In the beginning of the year, Roz, like, you know, like every team before the season, the coach implements his offense, how we're going to play defense. Here's our team rules. Here's how shoot around works. Here's how we meet for the bus and all these things. Those things are already in place. So it's not like it's a new rule. Like, this was his rule, and you kind of understand it. So I'm like, okay, this your rule? Cool. I don't agree with it. Cool. So let me just get this out the way. Hey, coach, I'm here early. Hey, man, my shoulder bothered me, brother. I'm here to talk to you. Can I go get this treatment? What's, you know, and then you kind of handle it like that. But it's like when the coach is like, okay, where's my starting point guard? Oh, he's in the back. Hey, are you going to do this? Well, here's our rule. You're going to either sit or not show up. You know, so that's my only thing to that. You know, like I said, there's more details to it. It's just, I hope that they can figure this out, because here's the scary thing about this, and that we can move forward. You don't want to get in a situation where people are making, you know, butt into their business. Like you said, they're trying to keep it internal. Now Trey's not there and they're seeing wins, and then they're trying to pit players. You pit your locker room. Your locker room starts to separate because you're hearing people like, oh, they beat the Denver Nuggets without Trey Young.
Yeah.
And you don't want people to say, you know, you don't want them to, you know, you just want to keep it because they're a very good team together. He and DeJounte Murray, I think they can be a version of Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum 2.0. I think that they're that good together. If they, you know, so you just gotta, they just gotta hold it down and,
ooh,
you know,
Vince, figure this how thing about out. DeJounte Murray and Trey Young could be a version of Martin Lawrence and Will Smith in Bad Boys. How about that? Come on, transition. You like that, Martin?
Yeah.
Who do you think is the equivalent? Because you've had, I would say there's two super recognizable duos you've been a part of. We mentioned In Life and Boomerang, yourself and Eddie Murphy. So let's start there. Like, what two basketball players would you compare yourself and Eddie Murphy working together with?
LeBron and AD.
Ooh, okay. Because they won a chip together.
You know.
Are you willing to say who's LeBron and who's AD?
I would say which character's AD? Well, since Will's tall, I would make him AD. And I would be LeBron.
Okay, so we're going to go Will Smith and you. So Will Smith would be AD. You'll be LeBron. And then what would Eddie Murphy be?
Eddie Murphy.
So she's saying you and Eddie as a duo.
Okay. As a duo. Okay. in what movie?
For you and
for what team? For what team?
Oh, okay. So are we talking Eddie and you right now, or Will and you?
Any team. Yeah. Eddie. No, he and Eddie. Any team, any duo.
It don't even got to be a duo. It's just got to be two top players. Shoot, it could be LeBron and MJ.
I would have to say, for Eddie, I'd have to say Magic and Kareem.
Ooh, that hits. You're going with the more old school legends there. Okay, and then for you and Will, how would you do that?
Will would be Kareem and I would be Eddie. I mean, and I would be Magic.
Okay, cool. We didn't touch on your relationship with Will Smith. And as we round out the interview, we'd love to talk about that, because watching you guys on, you know, Bad Boys has been incredible to watch the journey. Which has been your favorite, and how do you think the relationship and the series has grown?
Which has been my favorite? It's hard to say which is my favorite. I might have to say, even though Bad Boys for Life number 3 grossed the most money, I might have to say my favorite one was probably between number 2 or 1. I would probably say 1 or 2, maybe 2. Oh. It's neck and neck.
What was the relationship like working together through the movie? And how was it different perhaps than that with, you know, other situations you've been in? What makes Will stand out as a partner in a movie?
Well, what makes Will stand out as a partner is that he's very conscious. Mm-hmm. He's very focused. He's very he comes to get the work done. He's very attentive. You know, he's very smart. He's very good at what he does. Mm-hmm. You know, his craft, and he's just a special person to be around, and you can learn a lot from him when you're around him.
What did you learn?
Now, is he a guy that? Yeah, that's what I say. Is he a guy like what? Is he a guy that sometimes he's more ad lib, or he's like, "This is what you're gonna give me, and I'm gonna play the hell out of this role, and you follow me and stick."
No,
with me. What's his approach?
Yeah. No, we don't do that. We go over whatever the lines are that we have on the paper or whatever. We'll chop it up. We'll read it a little bit, and then we might start playing with it.
Yeah.
Before we take it to camera. You know, we'll read it amongst each other. And then he may say something, then I come back with something. Then we'll go, okay, yeah, we're going to use that.
When I was growing up, right. I remember there was a whole slate of shows that I liked to watch. And that included Martin. It also included The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And, you know, that's 20 years ago. That's 15. I don't even know how many years ago. But the times were different. What was it like then to see two young black men having their own successful sitcoms take over America? And were you aware of Will at the time? Did y'all know each other, or was it just kind of separate?
Oh, yeah. No, I was aware of him. I knew he was on the other side of town doing his thing. And while I was over there, you know, we were on the other side of town doing our thing. So it was the best moment. In one of the best moments in time for us, because you know we were hot shows and everybody wanted to come visit us and see the shows and hang out there, and we were loved.
You felt that love, and you know Will is a legend, period. But when you saw the beef that came about from two of your comedic brothers come up on stage, obviously between him and Chris Rock, what's your response, and how do you feel now that we've all had time to just grow and step away from it and move forward? What's just your reaction to all of that as you assess that?
Well, it hurt me, you know, to see that happen, you know, because I know both of them are my brothers, and when it happened, I text both of them after it happened. You know, just to see how they were doing and everything. But, you know, it was just an unfortunate situation. And, you know, Will wasn't in the right space that night. And Chris Rock didn't deserve that. So it was just such an unfortunate situation.
Well, and to follow that, I saw a comment you made, you know, of course, everybody asking about, obviously, Bad Boys. And you said, you know, it doesn't affect, you know, he's your brother, Will, that is, and, you know, you plan on potentially doing a Bad Boys again, potentially, and or you will work with him, you know, and I thought it was pretty cool you showing your support and still understanding, yeah, he made a mistake, he was in his own, you know, he was wrong, he recognized it, and he still had the support of people, because at the end of the day, he needed some love from his friends to kind of get him out of the dark place that he was in.
Yeah, and
I thought it was a dope moment.
The thing is, they both need the love. They both needed the love.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, for sure.
And you know, it's just like brothers fighting, and you don't want to see your brothers fighting and stuff. You know, but Chris Rock didn't deserve that at all. You know, and so you know, like I said, it's just an unfortunate situation, and we gotta be more conscious of how we treat each other. And the respect that we have for each other as black men and black women, you know, because we are all we have. We are all we have. And, you know, to push forward in this life, we need each other. We need each other's strength. We need each other's wisdom. And we need each other's blessings. So, you know, that's how we have to move in life.
That is such a beautiful message. And I also think that's a perfect way to end the
Before we close, I'm gonna ask it, Roz, before you go further. Nope. I knew you were gonna say that. Nope. Bad Boys 4.
Yeah. It's happening.
That's all I want to say. That's all. Because, see, Roz was like, yeah, you know, thank you. No. Like, we need to see, like, I just think, like you just said, like, I think the chemistry you guys have on camera, what your relationship, obviously off camera, but on camera, does for people is great. And I hope you guys have as many of these as you can.
But I got
it's like they're trying to do all the rush hours.
But I got
as many as you can.
But I gotta say, you know, they still are tying up the final pieces, so it's not.
No, for sure.
It's not confirmed yet.
Right. But that it's just at least you're saying this is gonna happen when we get everything confirmed.
Yeah,
that's step in the right direction.
Thank you, my brother.
But no, man, I'll say this, man. We appreciate you, man. You know, taking the time, and you know, you're like I said, you're a legend. You deserve the flowers, and the thank yous, and everything that you've done. And I know you're just a brother trying to make it, and do what's Ross got the flowers for you right there. But you're a friend, and you know, we just cordial. But like, I when I get the opportunity, you know, outside of just legendary, but like, you are appreciated for, you know, your messages that you put in your work, whether it's film or comedy. You're a legend. You know, it's always a pleasure talking with you. I mean, like, Roz, I get a text out of the blue from this guy just checking up on me. You know what I'm saying? Like him, you know, and it's a great feeling for, like, I mean, because he's holding true to what he's saying. Like, we have to support each other, check on each other. Like, it's needed. And you, who are Martin Lawrence, a true legend, you do that for me. Like, it's just, you know what I'm saying? And I appreciate you. And, you know, I make sure I hit you back, man. You good, man? And it's because it's love of brothers looking out and supporting and taking care of and making sure we're good. Because with what the world looks like today, we need that. You know what I'm saying? We need that. So
most definitely. Most definitely. I appreciate you. I appreciate you, Roz.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.